This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, caucusing on Twitter. The wide margin of victory by top tweeters as the Iowa results streamed in. And instant access and a bountiful backlog of programming makes for a new golden age of television and plenty to watch in January. Plus, context is king, whether in love or politics. Research shows that situations, not character, guide decision-making. But first, politics is the story of the day. The GOP presidential race leaped from handshaking to balloting stage last night in Iowa. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney won 2012's first national caucus by 8 votes. Rick Santorum came in second, thrusting him into the limelight as the race heads to New Hampshire. Bill Adair is editor for PolitiFact, partnering with NHPR, the Nashua Telegraph, and the Valley News for PolitiFact New Hampshire to check statements made by candidates throughout the primary season. Bill, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
It's great to be here, Virginia.
Rick Santorum's come-from-behind showing throws him into the public eye, but he has been up against the truth-o-meter throughout the campaign. How does PolitiFact's report card on Santorum compare overall to other leading candidates?
He has, I guess, what I would describe as a mixed record. We haven't rated him as much as the other candidates because he has not been a top-tier candidate until today. He has 3 true ratings, 5 half-true, 2 mostly false, and 3 false, and 1 pants on fire. So he's got sort of a smattering that leans a little bit toward the false end of the spectrum.
Here's something you did look at last week. Rick Santorum was asked about the issue of electability on NBC's Today Show. Here he is.
If you look at everybody else in the field, no one has ever run as a conservative and been able to attract independents and Democrats to win. I have, and I think that's one of the reasons the people in Iowa are looking at it.
How did PolitiFact rate that statement?
We gave that a half true. We found that his record in contested elections wasn't quite as rosy as he said, and that he's right. He can point to some evidence that he won some support from Democrats and independents, but those were a lot of the conservative Democrats in Pennsylvania. It's not like he was winning big in among the more liberal Democrats. And it's important to note that he did lose statewide among Democrats in 2000 and 2006. So overall, that one got a half true.
Any other notable meetings between Rick Santorum and the Truth-O-Meter while we weren't looking, Bill?
Well, we've got one we just posted yesterday. It actually involves a Rick Perry claim, and I think we'll be hearing this probably a fair amount in the next week leading up to the New Hampshire primary. This is a claim from Rick Perry that Santorum voted for the famous Teapot Museum in North Carolina. This was a famous earmark along the lines of the equally famous or more famous Bridge to Nowhere. And indeed, Santorum has voted in the past for earmarks. He's even gone so far as to say that he supported earmarks, put them in himself on behalf of Pennsylvania, and was proud of that. But then has done something of an about-face, as many Republicans have, in the face of lots of public opposition. So we rated Rick Perry's claim that Santorum voted for the Teapot Museum to be half true. The true part is he did vote for a giant bill that had that as one of its things. It wasn't, though, as if Santorum specifically was signaling his support for that Teapot Museum. And but this is one we're going to be hearing a lot, I think, in the next week, because I think earmarks like that remain very unpopular with Republican voters.
Well, one we won't be hearing from in the race anymore is Michelle Bachmann, who has announced today that she is going to drop out of the race. I see that PolitiFact already has bid farewell to Michelle Bachmann.
We have, and your listeners who follow PolitiFact are probably familiar with pretty rich record that Michelle Bachmann has had with the Truth-O-Meter. We've been rating her now going back at least 3 years, maybe 4 years, to statements she made as a member of Congress. And she developed a reputation for falsehoods and exaggerations. Her initial 13 claims that we checked were all rated either false or pants on fire, and it got to be something of a fascination for the Minnesota political news media would Michelle Bachmann ever earn anything higher than a false on the truth-o-meter? And so with her record is probably, and we don't actually calculate the data this way, but I think it's fair to say, at least among the most prominent Republicans that we rate, or among actually most prominent people of either party, that her record is that she has a larger share of false and pants on fires among people that we have rated often. And so we were, it was a little melancholy for us to have her dropping out of the race. She has kept the truth-o-meter busy. And indeed, and has been a good sport through it all. She has never complained about any of our ratings, and has actually cited our work in defense of her
record. I've noticed that she's used it as street cred. PolitiFact recently did attract some criticism for its Lie of the Year. The dubious honor for 2011 went to Democrats for ads and comments claiming that Republicans had voted to end or, quote, kill Medicare. Now here are Jay Carney and Nancy Pelosi making that claim.
At the end of the day, this plan would end Medicare as we know it for millions of seniors.
Republicans have put forth a budget that ends Medicare while making seniors pay more to get less, while giving tax subsidies to big oil.
So I want to hear your response, or PolitiFact's response to the controversy bill.
You bet. Well, I guess first to explain why we initially said it was false. This was a statement that was made just a matter of 3 days after a vote in the House by House Republicans to support the Ryan budget plan, and 4 days after the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee put out an ad that said that the Republicans had voted to end Medicare. And the wording is important. The way that Jay Carney said it, end Medicare as we know it, is not the same as the ads that we initially rated false or pants on fire that said that this particular vote ended Medicare. That we rated that false, and the reason was that it didn't actually end Medicare. It actually protected Medicare for people who were 55 and older, and a lot of the messages were targeted at seniors using humorous images of an old woman in a wheelchair being pushed off a cliff and similar things that suggested that old people would lose their Medicare right now, which the plan would not do. It would, however, dramatically change Medicare and lead to a voucher system that would be, in effect, a privatized Medicare. And there are legitimate questions about whether the benefits would be as good as they are today. However, we felt, at least in relation to our pool of finalists for Lie of the Year, that it was the most significant falsehood. We had rated it false, as had the other independent fact-checkers, factcheck.org and the Washington Post fact-checker. And so we gave it the dubious honor, as you say, of Lie of the Year, and took tremendous criticism. We got more criticism on this than anything we've ever gotten before. And many of our readers felt that we missed the bigger picture because, in effect, down the road, the Ryan plan would, in their view, end Medicare. We still feel it's a falsehood, and we still feel that it was the most significant falsehood last year, but we do respect all the feedback we got and all the criticism, and we take it very seriously.
Well, Bill, thanks for clearing that up, and onward we go. Thanks so much for joining us today. Bill Adair, editor at the fact-checking website PolitiFact, which along with NHPR, the Nashua Telegraph, and the Valley News make up the PolitiFact New Hampshire partnership, checking candidate statements on the ground as we lead up to the New Hampshire primary. Talk to you soon, Bill.
Thanks, Virginia.
This campaign season, much of the political conversation takes place in real time on Twitter. It is now common for many to type in a hashtag for a topic and watch comments stream in from across the spectrum, providing a kind of snarky Greek chorus while coverage unfolds on the radio or TV. That's what we were doing last night anyway, pairing CNN and NPR with the hashtag IACaucus. And here are some of the trends that we noticed. First, no shortage of tweets about the caucus process itself. Many references to caucuses resembling ballot counting at a high school class election. Patricia Murphy tweeted, "I wonder what the margin of error was at the caucus where scraps of paper were collected in a purple Tupperware bowl." Another trending topic was the close race between Romney and late surger Rick Santorum. Santorum was endorsed by reality TV's fecund Duggar family. At 11 p.m., Think Progress tweeted, Santorum lead, 13 votes, now smaller than Duggar family, 19 kids. There was also a bit of a flame war between the campaigns of Ron Paul and John Huntsman. The latter skipped Iowa altogether. Someone tweeting under Paul's handle wrote, John Huntsman, we found your one Iowa voter. He's in Lynn Precinct 5. You might want to call him and say thanks. The tweet was quickly deleted, but not before it had been retweeted en masse, earning this response from one Andrew Romano. Spotted at the Paul party, puka shells, neck tattoos, tie-dyed purses, saggy jeans. Who invited my 1996 high school classmates? Ouch. For links to more of the Iowa conversation on Twitter, you can follow us at Word of Mouth, where we've retweeted more of the trending topics and popular IA caucus tweets. Now, to be fair, there were also a great deal of quality analysis and relevant commentary to be found on Twitter last night, too. We posted that as well. Coming up, catching up on all the quality TV on demand. That's when Word of Mouth continues from NHPR.